Welcome to 4.0 to Pro, the pickleball podcast that focuses on a single shot, tip, or strategy to improve your pickleball game with every single pocket-sized episode. Our goal is to make you better on the court every time you hear our voices. And now your hosts, 4.something Michael O'Neill and USA Pickleball National Silver Medalist, Senior Pro Scott Fliegelman.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of 4.0 to Pro, your pocket-sized pickleball podcast, where we teach you a single shot or strategy every single episode. I'm Michael O'Neill here in sunny Long Beach, California, joined by one of my good pals, Mr. Scott Fliegelman, there in Boulder, Colorado. Hello, Scott.
Good afternoon, Michael. What's up? We're podcasting. I might get 15 minutes on the ball machine afterwards and then head into the Boulder High sophomore basketball game where my 10th grader Brody will be dropping dimes.
We are doing something on this episode that is going to be new and different and innovative to a lot of the people that listen to this show. And I would say that this is a 202. This isn't a 101. This is probably a 202 lesson. Before we jump into that, three quick things. Number one, I posted a post on the Pickleball Clinic Facebook page, the group page, just kind of promoting the 4.0 to Pro podcast. And a few of you responded to it. If you are a member of the Pickleball Clinic group, would love if you would comment on that post. I think it really helps get some awareness of the podcast to other people that don't know about the show. So that would be awesome. Second, Scott and I have both received the brand new carbon pivot glasses. And of course, I just did a little unboxing on our Instagram page. But one of the coolest things about the glasses is that the lenses are photovoltaic, which means that they're clear in low light. And when you go outside into bright sunlight, they darken into shades. And then you also have a yellow lens with them. They are on Carbon's website, CRBN, carbonpickleball.com. And you guys should definitely check them out. I think we're seeing a lot more people having eye injuries. The game is getting faster and faster, and we obviously have to protect our eyes. So Carbon came out with these really cool looking glasses. They remind me a little bit, Scott, of the kind of old school Oakley goggle glasses.
Yeah, I like the added coverage that comes with them. I'm indoors 99% of the time, and I'm wearing them every time I play. And a little extra coverage and really good visibility and super comfortable, getting lots of compliments. So what could be better than that?
I'm actually just about to go to the court right after we finish recording. It's been pouring rain here for a week, so I haven't been able to play with them, but I'm going right after this to play with them, and I'm really excited to try them out. And finally, to popular demand, a lot of you have written me and asked me, can we get the four-person ritual kitchen exchange t-shirt? And I'm here to say, yes, you can. Prior to launching this podcast, I had a little pickleball brand called Make 'em Hit, or Meh, M-E-H, which is at makeemhit.com. Make, E-M-H-I-T, makeemhit.com. I've got a whole bunch of different soft goods on that page, including the four-person ritual kitchen exchange t-shirt. I've got a tournament t-shirt, which is got the 4.0 to Pro logo, a bunch of Meh clothes, including the same guy shirt, and a couple of really cool women's, like either Razorback or tank tops. So if you guys want to check it out, it's at makeemhit.com and go represent. And that would be awesome.
Can I get a deal on one of those shirts?
You can get all kinds of deals.
You know, all right.
Yeah, I know a guy. Scott, let's talk a bit about the Hydra defense. Can you give us a rundown on what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes?
So coming off of our point breakdown a couple of weeks ago, a couple of shows ago with Georgia and Paris and Tyra and Millie, I spent a little extra time watching that video and started putting a few thoughts together, starting with, I was a little surprised to see that in particular, Paris was sitting on forehand shield with such an amazing two-handed backhand counter. And then I realized it was primarily because she was on the left side, and she was protecting her inside shoulder. When she was on the right, she was sitting a little bit more on the backhand as her shield, getting ready to counter and whipping some pretty effective counters as a result. So in looking at that, I was thinking there are multiple shields or multiple heads to this defensive philosophy, hence the Hydra or mythological creature with multi-heads. You cut one off, the other one grows back. I just think it's a really cool deal. That's where, you know, I came up with this strategy that we can talk about. When you're in the four-person ritual kitchen exchange environment, particularly when the ball is cross-court from you, We're going to discuss assuming this defensive posture.
So this idea is, depending on what side you're on, is how you're favoring the preparation of your paddle, basically. Is that sound about right in the simplified form?
Sure. And we'll take one step back. We're going to be talking about cross-court speed-ups, primarily defending them, because on this show and our listeners, we're not big fans of doing the cross-court speed-up, but apparently there are some non-listeners out there in the 4-5 range that insist on continuing to do cross-court speed-ups. So we may as well be somewhat better prepared for defending this strategy. As a refresher, we don't speed up cross-court because the opponents have extra time being cross-court versus straight ahead. And there's not a lot of favorable geometry in speeding up cross court, thanks to the poor angle and the limited amount of inbounds that you have to land that ball when we go cross court. We're certainly not taking advantage of the full length of the court. So as Forward to Pro listeners, we should be limiting this tactic offensively. But this show is going to be specific to defending the cross court speed up.
I play against a guy who on a good day is 4-5-ish. And if I am cross court from him, I always favor the correct side, which would be that inside shoulder. I'm always protecting it because this dude speeds up cross court like that's what his job is. That's all he does. And it's crazy because when we first started playing and a couple of years ago, I'd get nailed by those things. And I think because my game has evolved and because I listen to the show, I know that it's coming now. And so I'm kind of ready to tee off on that shot. And just for clarity, we're saying these shots are neck to waist generally in terms of a speed up, because if it's down at your feet, it's sometimes effective even if it's cross court. But this is a shot that you can actually counter and get something on if you're prepared the correct way.
On this show, we talk a lot about pre-serve visualization, pre-fifth shot visualization. I'm going to play a cornhole-style shot cross-court, and I know this before the rally even starts. So the Hydra defense is a game plan for when you arrive at a four-person ritual kitchen exchange, when the ball is cross-court from you, I'm going to do the following things before they hit the ball. I'm going to crowd the middle. If I get beat, I'm going to get beat down the line, but I'm going to crowd the middle. I'm going to split step on contact, and I'm going to protect my inside shoulder with my respective shield. So if I'm on the left side, I'm going to protect my right shoulder with my forehand. If I'm on the right side, I'm going to protect my inside shoulder with my left hand. And I am anticipating a cross-court speed up at my inside shoulder. I am sitting on a counterattack. I am waiting for them to come to my inside shoulder, and I'm going to counterattack straight ahead.
A down the line counter.
Down the line counterattack. That's what I want them to do. Feed my inside wing, and I am ready with the appropriate shield to counterattack at the player directly in front of me. If they dink, I've got all the time in the world to react to that. But I want to be prepared for the most impactful strategy on the other side. The crux and the fun of this particular strategy is all I need to do is protect my inside shoulder. If they go to my outside shoulder due to the suboptimal geometry for that attacking player, I am ready to let it fly. And that ball is going to go out most of the time. Yes, when the ball is up a bit, that helps. If they can get that ball down, I may need to play that. But my AB strategy for this is protect my inside shoulder, and when the ball goes to the outside shoulder, let it fly.
Right. If they decide to go wide on you, it's probably going wide of the court is what you're saying. It's like if they're trying to go down that line on that outside shoulder, they better have hit a perfect ball or it's going to go wide, because they've just reduced the ability of that ball to stay in the court because they've just shortened the court by X amount of feet because they're going wide of that shoulder.
Which is why they shouldn't be doing this type of speed up, but they can't stop themselves from doing that. So I'm going to wager that if it's an effective speed up, it's going to be at my inside shoulder. So I'm going to sit on that side. And that's where the Hydra comes into play, is I may need to gain some experience with the forehand shield. We can do this pancake style. We can do this lollipop style, which is holding the paddle with more of an Eastern forehand grip, or we can not worry about the grip and just sit on forehand and be looking for that. And if it goes to the backhand side when I'm on the left, then we can let that ball go. Also keeping in mind that the wider that cross-court opponent player is from you, the less favorable angle they have. So it's even harder for them to keep it in if they go with an acute cross-court angle toward your outside shoulder. So you can protect the inside shoulder even more. You can crowd middle even more. And the correct shot for them is probably to either speed up straight ahead or to go soft cross-court, but we're protecting against the ill-advised cross-court speed up.
This is something that Georgia Johnson does when she's on the left a lot. She's protecting with her forehand shield versus her backhand shield. So I guess the point of this is like having the backhand shield is not a universal, is what we're trying to say here. It depends on what side of the court you're on and who you're playing with, because if they're susceptible to these cross-court speed-ups, instead of just reacting to it, you can be ready for it and really make them pay for it.
You're right on. And again, circling back to the origin of this concept, or at least it accelerated after watching the Point Breakdown video, both Georgia and Paris, who were on the left-hand side, were preparing a forehand shield in a cross-court exchange, which was eye-opening, especially for Paris, who's got such a great two-handed backhand counter. But if the ball comes from cross-court to her backhand, she just has to let that go. She doesn't have to worry about that shot if it comes from cross-court. So yes, Georgia is a great example to take a look at how she sits on that forehand. This is cross-court specific. To your point, if you're straight ahead, if the ball is straight ahead of you, that's where we circle back to what we've been talking about for several shows, is we're probably going to need to commit to either a backhand or a forehand shield, whichever one works best for us, probably due to our grip, to better defend against the speed up from straight ahead. Because now we have to cover both shoulders. We have 22 feet of court to cover against. I like the backhand. I like the hockey goalie stance. I'm going to use the backhand side of my paddle to protect my belly, to protect my right shoulder if I sway and step to my right. I'm very inclined to use my backhand when dealing with a straight ahead assault. And when we're switching to this cross court, we really only have to worry about the inside shoulder.
How are your feet oriented as the defender? If you are, say, on the right-hand side, so you're favoring the backhand shield for this, are you skewed from a footwork standpoint, or are you lined directly up on the non-volley zone line, or are you rotated so that your, in our case, left foot is back a few inches or a foot or two, so your body is already twisted around and sort of ready for that opening to allow you a full backhand stroke to put this thing away?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a personal answer, but I love the idea of fully visualizing a wicked counter, which for me and you might be with the left foot back a little bit, allowing us to get the full torque benefits of rotating our trunk muscles so that it's not just with our arms. Paris Todd's a great example of an amazing backhand counter when she's on the right-hand side and that ball goes down the middle and she just rips it. The player right in front of her, and her footwork and her balance and her stable base are as good as anybody's. So great example there. And I would be fully visualizing getting a ball down the middle and counterattacking again. If they dink, plenty of time to deal with that. And if they go to my outside shoulder, I let it fly. So those are the three options.
I think if you open your stance like that as well, I think it gives you not only a split second more time to get to the ball, but it allows you not to get cramped and handcuffed against your body if they do decide to go exactly at that hip. If you get a hard shot to your left hip and you're on the right-hand side and you're squared up, you're going to have a hard time getting any sort of momentum and torque. But if you're already rotated towards that diagonal player, it allows you to actually even pull your torso back a little bit, give yourself some space, and really get to unload on the ball with straight arms versus having to do it like with T-Rex arms.
Yeah, totally agree. And maybe less so with the one-handed backhand and slightly less so on the forehand side. But those of you with an inclination to counter with two hands, let's get two hands on that paddle and make that your default when the ball's on your cross-court opponent's paddle. Be looking for that and be set and ready to execute the two-hander. And then the other options don't require quite as much preparation. So you have more of a forehand dominant grip, and a way to deal with that on the backhand side is to throw a lefty Eastern forehand grip on there without having to shift your right hand back to continental.
Right.
So that's exactly what's happening.
In that case, it sort of requires a two-handed backhand to get the paddle face correct, because I don't think I'd be able to get there one-handed with any effectiveness.
And that's a compromise with the forehand shield approach, like a Steve Dawson or a Dekel Barr, is left hip is really hard to defend with the forehand shield grip.
Scott, you and I worked on the backhand shield and the forehand shield the last time I was in Boulder. And it was really eye-opening, because there was some things that we did when we did our one-hour drill session. You kept getting me on that right-hand chicken wing shoulder, And then you said it may be more appropriate for you to hold a forehand shield and move that way instead of keeping this backhand shield and moving to the right to open the ball up. So I said, all right, we'll give it a try. And sure enough, I was able to react very quickly to that same spot. But where I got in trouble was because you were so good at being laser targeted, when you attacked my left hip and I was in that forehand grip. So can you talk a little bit about how we get out of that instance? So I'm on the left-hand side, I'm favoring forehand grip. It's worked a couple of times because that person has countered. But now the person who's directly across from me recognizes I've got this forehand threat and now they start targeting my left hip.
We referenced earlier that we can use the pancake or lollipop approach on the forehand side, which we'll circle back to in a second, or we can use our regular forehands, which doesn't require a grip change. But if you're not already in an Eastern forehand, you'll probably want to assume one, which is the grip you would have on your paddle if you picked it up off the ground and held it up like a lollipop or a stop sign. That's a nice, effective forehand shield approach. And it's what Decco Barr and Colin Johns and Steve Dawson and others will use with a forehand dominant shield. That requires a grip change. When the ball goes to the left hip, that is a really difficult place to defend. And you can either really bend your knees, which remarkably Decco Barr does incredibly as the 6'4 guy, or you can throw your left hand on there, which will overcome the deficiencies or at least help overcome the deficiencies of a dominant forehand grip and give you an option for backhand counter, backhand reset when the ball is low left hip.
Yeah, that's what I did. I put a second hand on that paddle for effectively a two-handed backhand shield slash counter. And it wasn't ideal. My right hand wasn't the way I would want it, which would be more continental and allow me a little more movement. But it did allow me to get the paddle face correct again, because when you're in a lollipop grip, you've got to switch all the way down to your left hip. Your paddle face is all wonky. It's not where you want it to be. Thankfully, that left hand is able to get there and stabilize and move it to where it needs to be. And also, in fact, allows you to release that right hand a little bit and shift your grip if you have to, if you have a split second to do that. But even if you don't, and you get in some sort of hands battle, you can stay with that left hand on the paddle and it works really well. Like, it really does stabilize the paddle and get you out of the way. It gets you out of trouble. You wouldn't want to play a whole game like that because it's a little weird and awkward feeling. But for me, the way that I was able to get out of that left hip attack, until, of course, then you switched right back to my right shoulder again, and I had to sort of do it all over again. But not everybody is Scott Fliegelman across the court from you.
Yeah, and to review what you were describing right there was a straight-on assault, and right. That's why we recommend straight-on assaults, not cross-court. Back to the point of the Hydra defense is if you're on the left-hand side, I want you to use a forehand shield, but it does not have to be a lollipop or a pancake style that requires a grip change. You can go closer to continental or easternental or whatever your regular forehand grip is, but sit on that and your mindset is, I have forehand covered. I am ready to pounce and ready to counterattack on forehand. And if it comes to my left side, I'm not even going to worry about it because it's going to go out of bounds or it's going to be soft and I can recover in time and dink.
Where is your resting position for the paddles? So we're in that dink rally when the four-person ritual kitchen exchange, and I'm on the left-hand side, and I've maybe shifted my right foot back a little bit, so I'm canted towards the cross-court player. Where does my paddle want to be? Is it high? Is it mid? Is it low? Is it at 12 o'clock? Is it at 2 o'clock? Where do you fall on paddle prep for that counter?
Well, we'll use the seesaw reference. If the ball is really low at my opponent, then my paddle is going to be high because all they can really do is come up with it. So I want to get my paddle high. If their ball on my cross-court opponent is mid-height, then my paddle is going to be mid-height as well. And not critical to this example, but if they're hitting down, then I want my paddle low so that I can get prepared to play some defense. As far as where it is off to my right side, I'm inclining the forehand side of my paddle towards my opponent's. I am cheating toward the forehand side, and everything internally is focused on forehand. I'm not a pancake or lollipop grip defender by nature. I have to work toward that. So I'm not holding it up and presenting it like a stop sign, although I'm going to work on that. That may be something that I want to incorporate. When Megan Fudge was here last, which is a few months ago, she was working on that and incorporating that into her game, in addition to her very potent two-handed backhand counter, just making herself more difficult to attack because you can't read what their shield is going to be. Once your opponent picks up on your shield tendencies, you switch. So where's my paddle? It's going to be inclined to the forehand side, probably up higher if the ball is low to my opponent's feet.
Maybe 1 or 2 o'clock, maybe not 2 or 3, but you're just showing a little bit of that face to them. So that you could do that if you had to.
Yes. And if I'm dealing with a player straight across from me, I'm doing the same thing to the backhand side. Because my backhand is my preferred shield.
Right.
I'm straight ahead.
Straight ahead.
Because I don't have any advantages like I do when I'm dealing with cross-court defense. Cross-court defense, I really only need to protect one side.
Got it. Okay. So do you feel, Scott, that this is a fluid defense? So it goes to the cross-court person and you're sort of favoring that forehand shield. I'm assuming I'm on the left-hand side for this. I favor that forehand shield. That guy dinks back to my partner who goes cross court. So now I've got the person right across from me who's got it. Am I favoring back to the backhand shield? Am I shifting it that quickly? Or is it I've committed to this and I'm going to stay in the forehand shield while I'm on the left side of the court?
That's a great question. I'm glad you're clarifying for our listeners. The answer is when the ball is straight in front of you, at the opponent straight in front of you, I want you to use your preferred shield, which could be, for me, is the backhand. Because I have to cover both shoulders. I'm going to have to sway and sidestep and commit to just the backhand side. That's the best side for me when a player is speeding up at me from directly in front. But when the ball goes back to my cross-court opponent, then I'm just going to favor the inside shoulder. And if I'm on the left-hand side, that's forehand.
Excellent. Thank you for clarifying that. Any drills that we can do for this?
I love a four-person ritual kitchen exchange game. Right before you requested of me, I'm going to get 4 strong players on court on Friday morning, and we're going to film this. So we'll get that going for you, but we're also going to experiment with it a bit and learn more. Like I said, we're just giving birth to this concept right now, and wanted to get it right out to the listeners. But I really think most of our kitchen games are great for this, and it just kind of gives you a chance to settle in. I might start with just one ball and a controlled rally where we're really not going to speed up all that hard, but we just want to get used to the kind of the choreography of when the ball is cross court from you, identify the opportunity for the Hydra defense, and go ahead and commit to a protecting of the inside shoulder. And when the ball is directly in front of you, assume your preferred shield, which for most of us is backhand.
You could do this pretty easily with 2 people and a bucket of balls. You could be dinking back and forth. You could have, this could be the instigator drill. Whoever
Sure.
instigates on that one side, the other person could be ready for that down the line counter. And you could just do that until you get the rhythm of it, and then switch sides and switch backhand to backhand, forehand to forehand. You could probably work on that together pretty effectively. It wouldn't be that hard. You could do it with a ball machine if you really wanted to. We can set our spin shot ball machines up to do 3 or 4 dinks and then 1 harder shot just to get into the rhythm of it a little bit. But yeah, I think you could probably do it with 2 people just as well. And I'm actually, for better or for worse, Scott, what we talked about at the beginning of the show, which is tons of people still do this. We still see it all the time on rec courts. So you shouldn't have that much trouble finding somebody that's cross-court speeding up to you that you can practice this on.
And to bring it right back to the beginning, we saw this with 4 of the top women in the world when we broke down the point with Georgia and Tyra and Millie and Paris. So if they're doing it, you are likely to see that happening across the court from you.
You think, Scott, that they walked into that match with that strategy, like saying, I'm on the right side player and I'm going to do this. I'm the left side player and I do this. Or the pros are watching game film of their opponents. Do you think some pro teams are recognizing, oh, this particular person likes to speed up cross court, so let's adopt this until proven otherwise? Is that a thing? Or am I looking into it too much?
I don't know that it's a thing. There are some teams who do a better job preparing and watching film and committing to a game plan. I don't believe that was the case that day. I mean, this was a rec game, so I don't think there's a whole lot of foresight to it. And I could be wrong, but I don't believe that they're adapting this strategy proactively in tournament play. But hopefully we'll start to see this, and I hope our listeners will give this a shot and let us know how it goes.
Yeah, let's beta test this with everybody that listens to the show. Everyone give it a go, and we would love to hear back the feedback from this experiment. It certainly seems like a logical way to counter these cross-court speed-ups, being really ready to make them pay for it. And if you're on that team, and I think we've all done it and gone, oops, sorry about that, because your partner just gets whacked by the counter. And generally we go, totally my bad. That was totally my bad. Dude, sorry about that. And we learn and we don't do that again. But if that's not the case, and we still see these things in tournament or gameplay, hopefully we're prepared to take advantage of them.
And perhaps a year from now, as a result of this experiment, we will have fully eradicated the cross-court speed-up as a result.
The Hydra will win against cross-court speed-ups. Yeah. Guys, please go check out makeemhit.com. Check out the brand new Carbon Pivot glasses at carbonpickleball.com. And y'all have yourselves a wonderful day. Go out in the courts, have some fun. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to 4.0 to Pro. For more tips, find us on Instagram at 4.0 to Pro. If you have a pickleball question, submit it at picklehelp.com. Now, get out there and dominate. But don't forget to have fun.